Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
All right, we're getting into the word. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25, and then we're going to jump to verse 28. All right. It says, "One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." Amen. I'm preaching on generosity today. Oh, Pastor, I brought someone to church today. You're talking about money. You're the worst. It's not very nice. I'm not the worst, okay? The Bible talks about money and wealth over 2,300 times. So we probably got to talk about it more than once or twice a year. Amen. But I just really pray that you hear it. Hear the Bible today. Hear the Bible. I have no money-grabbing agenda or manipulation or anything like that. Let's just get into the Word of God. Amen. Because I know that the more critically minded will say, this sermon has an agenda. You know, you're just preaching to squeeze more out of me for next week. Yeah, you got me. If you give extra 15%, I get a bonus. No, that's not what happens at all. I'm kidding. I don't get anything from this except the satisfaction of being obedient to God to teach this. Amen? And the reality is God doesn't need our money, right? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, amen? And he will build his church, amen? And so he doesn't want our money, but he wants to build our faith and our trust. Yeah, and he wants to draw us into greater partnership with his kingdom work and to bless the generations to come. And so he wants our hearts, amen. I will cheekily add though, that building our future is one excellent way to be generous, to sow into the very place that spiritually feeds you, gave your community, disciples you and your family, and we can see other people have that same experience, amen. So probably is a really great place to be generous, but I'll just leave that out there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we place you at the center of this church. We place you at the center of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord, let you just be in and through this entire time together. Lord God, would you speak to us? God, we just humbly come to you at your feet. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, Jesus. And so, Lord, we just ask you, breathe on this time together. Speak through me. Lord, we just thank you, God, for you to move in us. Lord, bring us, disciple us, and bring us in a greater truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, team. Thanks so much, guys. We can clap the band. Woohoo! Now, we do still have the big faith sign out there, F-A-I-T-H, and we got to understand that faith isn't just something we believe. Faith has an outworking. Amen. Faith reveals itself in how we live. That's often what hurts people outside of church. It's like, you say you believe this, but the way you behave, I don't really want to be a part of that, right? And so faith has an action. Faith prays, faith obeys, you know, faith steps out, and faith is generous. And that's the title of my sermon today, Faith is Generous. Faith is generous. And one of the clearest indicators of where we place our trust is what we do with what God has placed in our hands. All right, and so we read this Proverbs 11 and notice that it contrasts two people. One gives freely and one withholds. But then verse 28, it tells us what's really happening. It says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall. See, the opposite of generosity, I believe, isn't stinginess. The opposite of generosity is misplaced trust. You see, the generous person trusts God. The withholding person trusts their resources. So I want to submit to you today that generosity is ultimately a faith issue. If faith is generous, okay, where does generosity come from? Well, it starts with a revelation that God is generous. We know John 3:16, if you've been in church for some time, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. He paid the ultimate price on our behalf. He gave so we could live. He gave so we could know him, so we could be free. Amen. Praise God that he is generous. Amen. But here's what really encourages me, and you can write this down. God gave first. God gave first. Did you know the first giver wasn't us? It was God. You know, the whole story of Scripture is the story of a generous God. But people often reference Cain and Abel as the first giving, the first generous moment in Scripture. But if you go back to Genesis 4, verse 21, it tells us that the Lord made clothing from animal skins and gave it to Adam and Eve. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned, he covered them. He's like, I'm going to give you this to cover you. I wouldn't have. One thing I ask you to do, don't eat from that tree. You can eat whatever you want. You can ride a lion. I don't care. Just don't eat from the tree. I would have been like, get out of here. I'm like, but we're naked. I don't care. Who's used that one to your kids? I don't care. But he hit me. I don't care. I love that one. I mean, not the hitting part, but kids do hit each other, okay? It was a kid that hit it. Doesn't matter. God gave first. He clothed Adam and Eve. He provided manna in the wilderness. He gave Israel a promised land. He gave his son for humanity. He then gives the Holy Spirit to empower us, amen? The culture of heaven is generosity. God never asks us to do something he hasn't already done himself. Some people think generosity is about getting God to do something for them, but the gospel says God already has. He moved first. Generosity to anyone, to anywhere, is not a payment, it's a response. You know, we look at the woman that poured the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. It's in John chapter 12, verses 3 and 5. It says, Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. Doesn't sound like it smells nice. What'd you get? I got the nard set fragrance. The nard dog. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance, the nard fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. That's a lot of money. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. This is a case of wild generosity. It upset those whose hearts weren't right, and what looked reckless to others looked reasonable to her. Why? Because she had come face to face with the generosity of Jesus. This is the Mary who had sat at his feet while Martha was hustling and received the life-giving truths of Jesus. This is the one whose brother Lazarus was dead, yet Jesus gave him back to her alive, right? He'd seen her, he'd ministered to her, he'd moved supernaturally to bless her life. And so her generosity wasn't an attempt to earn grace. No, it was a response to grace. Mary wasn't purchasing something, she was responding to someone. Freely you've give, now freely you've received, now freely give. Amen? God gave first. You know, I've always loved this story because it's a picture of extravagant worship. And I've preached it, I've sung about it, I've been stirred by it. But if I'm honest, sometimes I've admired Mary's worship while keeping my wallet securely back in my back pocket. You know, we celebrate the pouring out of the perfume because it feels spiritual, and it is. But the reality is this wasn't just extravagant worship. This was extravagant generosity. It cost a year's worth of wages for a working man, not for a woman, for a working man. But it wasn't too much for Jesus. And I wonder whether sometimes we're more comfortable pouring out our worship in song than pouring out our resources. Yes, both are acts of surrender. Both are acts of worship. Both flow from the same revelation. He gave everything for me. Every act of generosity starts with a revelation of God's generosity towards us. It's not a payment. It's a response. We give because God gave first. Write this one down. Generosity keeps God as our source. Generosity keeps God as our source. You know, I've found just in this year that I've been counting the dollars lately. Our money isn't stretching as far as it was. I'm sure many of you can relate to that. And what I could sense, though, is it's almost felt like my hands are starting to tighten around my money. My money. It's not even my money. It's God's money, right? Like everything I have belongs to the Lord. This is preaching to my soul today. Amen. But have you ever noticed how quickly God's money becomes my money? You know, that pay rise was God's blessing until he asked for some of it. You know, or that house was God's blessing until he asked me to hold it loosely. Or the savings account was God's blessing until he wants to access it. Anyways, I'm sitting with the Lord and recognizing, yeah, I'm kind of tightening up a little bit here. Like, being made aware of my temptation to hold tight to what I have. And then I just know in my spirit, man, I need to bring an offering.
Like, I've got to break this thing, or I'm going to slide into trusting my own resource and into this spirit of lack, and I don't want that. And you see, generosity, it breaks a mindset of scarcity. Because you see, scarcity hits everyone, like not just those with little, those with much. Some of the most fearful people financially are wealthy people, right? Scarcity is a trust issue, not an income issue. Scarcity says there won't be enough, but faith says God is my provider. Amen? You know, I was so personally ministered to by a man of God a couple of weeks ago at a conference, and I learned that four times in his life, he's given everything he has in his bank account. Four times God's asked him to do that. He's done it out of obedience, and he doesn't want to be bound by money. He wants to trust God as his resource, and that blows me away, right? But that's the reality, right? If we trust God is my provider, then I actually can do that. You understand? And so now, the Lord sent him to plant a church in Las Vegas, which has exploded, and the Lord has now miraculously provided a $40 million building for their church, their growing church in Las Vegas, Sin City, right? God is moving. And you know, that's the sowing and reaping principle. But you can only give away so obediently like that when you trust he is your source. Paul says in Philippians 4 that he will richly supply all that we need. He's not a liar. God's not going to, everyone but you. No, he wants to richly supply. So freely I can give. Freely I've received, freely I can give. Sometimes I think I was more generous as a young adult. Like I had less to give, but I feel like I gave more. Like I think it's because I feel like I have more to lose now. I have more responsibilities. Like I have a family, I have children, I have a home. Like it feels harder. But the reality is, if we can't give money away, it owns us. And money is a great servant, but it's a terrible master. And as a servant, it needs to be put to work, a good work. Amen? And so generosity, it reveals what your heart is trusting, where your heart is trusting. When I give my time, I'm trusting God with my schedule, my capacity, right? When I give encouragement, I'm trusting God with my reputation. When I forgive someone, I'm trusting God with justice. If you can give anything away, if you can say no to money when it's not right, if it demonstrates an integrity to the Lord that says, and the Lord says, wow, I can trust my son. I can trust my daughter. He can trust us with more because he knows it won't become our master. And so let's look at Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, he brings an offering of some of his crop yield. You know, some tomatoes, some carrots, some lettuces, some wheat. Abel gives the best. It's the first of his flock and their fat portions. And God loves that, but he doesn't like Cain's veggie offering. You can read that in Genesis 4. What's going on here? Is the Lord on one of those carnivore diets? Has anyone ever done one of them? That sounds crazy. I've never done it. I love meat though, but I probably couldn't afford to spend that much money on meat all the time. But no, God just doesn't like vegetables. Amen, said every seven-year-old, right? No. Hebrews 11 actually helps us understand. It references it in verse 4. It says, by faith. Someone say, by faith. Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel trusted God enough to bring his first and his best. It says he gave the firstborn. So when you give the firstborn of like a lamb, you got to wonder, will more be born? Like what if the next lambs aren't as good, right? That's the faith step. God, you get the first one, right? And he gave the fat portions. That was considered a luxury. I'm giving the best to God. He has it. He gets it. Whereas Cain, he's like, I don't really like tomatoes. Have some tomatoes. He just threw a couple of carrots in. There was an excess of wheat. Here, have some of what I've got. That was the difference. It wasn't an offering of faith. And the issue wasn't vegetables versus livestock. The issue was faith. Because faith is generous. Our faith trusts in God. Our fear trusts in our resources. So generosity, it reminds our soul, God is our provider, not my salary, not my investments, not my parents or their inheritance, amen, not my savings account, all right? No, I'm not going to say what I was going through my head then. No, I can't. Don't tell me to do it. You're meant to keep me behaved. I said the inheritance thing and I was like, it has crossed my mind, oh, when my parents die, then I'll have a better, like, I'll have more money. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's it's what has come into my head. It's an intrusive thought, you know. But I'm not trusting in that. God is my source. Amen? I'm human, okay. And when God truly becomes your source, then generosity doesn't feel so dangerous, doesn't feel so risky. Because you're no longer trusting what's in your hand, you're trusting the one who put it there. And that's what we're going to understand. Did God put it there or did I put it there? Or did a good circumstance where I happened to get this job put it there? No, we got to understand, if God put it there, then I can give it away because I trust He'll put it there again. Yeah. Amen? All right, if you're still writing notes with me, write this one down. Generosity positions us for God's provision. Notice I didn't say generosity generates wealth. I said it positions us for God's provision. When we came back from Cambodia during COVID, we had to spend 2 weeks quarantining in a hotel with a toddler, praise God. And I spent much of that 2 weeks while she was napping, learning all about finance, my super, investing, the stock market. And you know what surprised me was that so many of these big-time investors, wealthy guys, they were telling everyone where to allocate their finances, and most of them said, give 10 to 20% away. Often explaining, not really deeply, but man, things just go better when you do, and it does something good inside of you. Like they were touching on the power of generosity. They just didn't have the faith side of it. Amen? But rather than relying on YouTube finance, guys, let's look at the Word of God, because that's probably why you're here. You could watch YouTube at home. The Macedonian churches, they're one of the most extraordinary examples of generosity in Scripture. Is this okay, guys? I haven't seen anyone walk out yet, so praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, Paul talks about them. And he says, in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, someone say joy, and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say their abundance of money produced generosity or their abundance of comfort produced generosity. He says their abundance of joy produced generosity. See, Paul didn't marvel at what they gave. He marveled at their joy. Because their joy in giving had broken the grip of scarcity. They had little money. They had many problems. It was the time of severe affliction, it says, right? We don't really know what that's like. No one's hunted us or our family for our faith before, right? Severe affliction. Yet they were overflowing with generosity. Man, they've got something. They've caught something that we need to catch. Because generosity doesn't flow from abundance. It flows from trust. It flows from joy. It flows from a revelation of who we put our faith in. And we keep reading in verse 3. It says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. Man, they're living in extreme poverty, yet they're giving above and beyond of their own accord. Like, wow, that's challenging. Nobody manipulated them or pressured them. They begged for the opportunity to participate in what God was doing. That's remarkable. Most people think generosity starts when circumstances improve, when I have more, when I'm in a better spot. But the Macedonians, they prove generosity starts when faith rises, not when your bank account does. Don't hear what I'm not saying. You need to feed your family. You need to pay your bills. You need to be responsible and to be a good steward. Like, we've got an account that money's going into every month so we can pay for our kids' high school fees when they get there. Like, stewardship's a thing, amen? It's really expensive. But the truth in stewardship is that it's looking after something that's not your own. That's what being a steward is, right? That's something that's been given to. And so all we have is given to us by one who does not lack. He does not run out and he wants to sow. He wants us to sow what he's given us. And so therefore, generosity and stewardship don't combat each other. They're not mutually exclusive, but rather they coexist and are necessary in our following of the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Let's come back to the Macedonians. Years later, after 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul then writes to the Philippian church, which is one of those generous Macedonian churches. They'd financially supported him over and over again. And listen to what he says. Philippians 4, verse 16, 17, it says, even in Thessalonica, you send aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. That's such a powerful statement. Paul says, I'm not excited because of what I received. Yeah. He even says in that context, I've learned to be content with a lot and with a little, but he says, I'm excited because of what's happening in you. Like, in other words, your generosity is doing something in your life. God's enlarging something in you. Your faith is growing. Your trust is growing. Your reward is growing. Your eternal impact is growing. Paul understood that generosity blesses the recipient, but it transforms the giver. Amen? And then Paul says this, Philippians 4, verse 19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Amen. Isn't that interesting? Paul talks about their generosity. Then he talks about God's provision. The generosity came first. It's not because generosity is a transaction, but because generosity is trust. And God responds to trust. Generosity isn't payment. It isn't manipulation. It's a faith response. Amen. You know, when I graduated university, I hadn't been able to keep my part-time job at Domino's. Praise the Lord. Best delivery driver, 3 years running. They didn't give that award out, but I self-proclaimed. I had to let my job go because my last prac was in Kalgoorlie. And I came back, and then so I graduated. So I'm like, well, I need to get a full-time OT job. And so I began the hunt looking for that. In that space, I felt God say, "I want you to tithe in faith." Now, correct me if my maths is wrong, but 10% of zero is zero. So I was like, I'm off the hook. But I felt God say, "I want you to tithe in faith." And so I did. So I began to sow. And that entire 6 or 8 months, whatever it was, I had all I need. I was never in lack. It was incredible. But then God gave me a job as a new grad. I beat 30 other applicants, and it paid, get this, it paid exactly 10 times of what I had saved in faith. Let's go. How cool is that? It was a miracle that I got the job, but I had learned that my faith in God as the provider was the only way I was able to obey and generously sow. Faith moved first, then provision followed. Not because generosity manipulates God, but because generosity shifts something in us. Your worship team, you guys can come up and join me. You see that our faith in generosity, it grows as we exercise it. You know, the testimony came because I believe what the Lord had already been building in me around generosity. Because that includes when I was 15 years old. I was at a Nations Youth Summer Camp, winter camp, I think it was back then. And we were told the morning that in the night session, we were encouraged to bring an offering, to give and ask God what to give. And I remember asking God, and I remember the Lord said $200. And that was a lot for a 15-year-old in 2005. But all I can remember is I just had this excitement in my spirit. Like, he's given me everything. He's changed my life. He's given me a joy like no other. So you can have it, Lord. You can have it. I trust you completely. And that was a lot for a 15-year-old then. Yet there was joy. Why? Because generosity isn't a financial decision first. It's a worship decision. He gave me everything. He changed my life. He gave me joy. I want him to have it. God, you can have it all. I don't care. You, whatever you want to do. Amen. And that's the heart. It's not a payment. It's a response. Amen. And maybe you're here and you felt a little jaded or stale in your faith. Or maybe you're here and you really want a larger faith. You're like, man, I want to step into that faith where I believe God can do anything. Well, perhaps it's not another altar call that you need. Well, what? You're meant to be Pentecostal. Yes, don't worry, I am. I went flying across the room the other week. Praise God. But maybe it's an act of faith like generosity that actually you need to step into, to partner with, that's going to crack that open. Maybe it's God asking you to come to a place of trust and openness with what's in your hands. Or maybe it's a call to just to loosen that grip, to change your loyalties off of your finance that you have and onto the Father. Because this isn't just about money, although that's what we tend to hold on to the most. And maybe the Lord is challenging you to be generous in building our future next week. Well, maybe it's to be generous with your time. Maybe it's to be generous with your encouragement, with your forgiveness, or generous with a spare room or meals or hospitality. You know, I think about the Shunammite woman with Elijah. She's like, I'm going to prepare a room for the man of God. When he comes to minister, he's got a place to sleep. I'm going to feed him. It's incredibly generous. She wasn't forced to do that. And we read on, and the fruit is that he says, well, what do you need? God wants to provide for you. God's going to give you a son. God's going to give you a child. And it wasn't that, I'm not telling you, if you prepare a room for someone and you're believing for a kid, you get a kid. No, but the reality is when we sow, when we're generous. It opens ourselves up for God to say, I can trust you. I want to bless you. I want to pour into you. And so wherever the Holy Spirit is leading you, the invitation is the same. It's to trust Him. It's to put Him first. It's to hold it loosely and to let Him be your source. And man, there's a carnal wrestle in us when we talk about this stuff. Part of us is like, yeah, that's a great idea. But part of us is like, yeah, but what about that and that? And you got this going on and that. Hey, come on, He's our source. He's my source. I trust Him. If this is what you're asking me to do, Lord, I'm going to go in faith. Faith is generous, amen? Because a generous person isn't confident in what's in their hands. They're confident in who's holding their life. And when God is your source, you freely give. You can freely give because freely you've received. So you freely give, amen?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.